Blog Talk Radio.
Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 1, God's Purpose for His Church. The Church is God's appointed agency to save lost men and women. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. Through the Church, eventually everyone, including even the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, will see the final and full display of God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. In the Scriptures, there are many wonderful promises about the Church. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, Go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, chapter 49, verses 8, 9, and 15. The Church is God's fortress, His city of refuge, which He holds in a world in revolt. Any betrayal of the Church is treason against Him, who has bought mankind with the blood of His only Son. From the beginning, the Church has been made up of faithful people. In every age, the Lord's watchmen have faithfully given His message to their own generation. God has sent out His angels to minister to His Church, and the gates of hell have not been able to prevail against His people. Not one opposing force has risen to counteract His work that God did not see ahead of time. He has not left His Church forsaken, but has outlined in prophecy what would happen. All His plans will be fulfilled. God inspires and guards truth, and it will triumph over all opposition. Feeble and defective as they may appear, the Church is the one object that God regards above all others. It is the theater of His grace, in which He delights to reveal His power to transform hearts. Earthly kingdoms rule by physical power, but Christ banishes every instrument of force in His kingdom. His rule is to uplift humanity and make it more noble. God has filled His Church with various gifts and has given it the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, God has worked through His people to bring blessing to the world. God made Joseph a fountain of life to the ancient Egyptian nation. Through him, God preserved that whole people. Through Daniel, God saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. These deliverances illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through the God whom Joseph and Daniel worshipped. Everyone who will reveal Christ's love to the world is a worker with God for blessing humanity. God desired Israel to be like wells of salvation in the world. The nations of the world had lost the knowledge of God. They had once known Him, but because they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Yet God did not blot them out. He decided to give them the opportunity to become acquainted with Him through His chosen people. Through the sacrificial service, Christ was to be lifted up, and all who would look to Him would live. The whole system of types and symbols was a condensed prophecy of the gospel. But the people of Israel forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. They clung to all their advantages for their own glorification. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. They robbed God of service, and they robbed other people of a holy example. Priests and rulers became satisfied with a legal religion. They thought their own righteousness was more than enough. They did not accept the good will of God as something apart from themselves, but connected it with their own merit because of their good works. The faith that works by love could find no place in the religion of the Pharisees. God declared about Israel, I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4. The Savior turned from the Jewish leaders to entrust others with the privileges they had abused and the work they had scorned. God's glory must be revealed. His kingdom must be established. The disciples were called to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do.
Amen, amen, brothers and sisters. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've come before you at this hour, Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us on this prayer line. We pray for your love and your mercy, that you will be with us as we share and testify and may the word, your word on this prayer line be heard, that your people may listen and understand the will of God. So we thank you so much, Father, for this prayer line, and we ask that you bless us tonight while we listen on the prayer line and share and do all the other things to fellowship. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for brothers and sisters as they come on. We pray for them to share of your goodness and what you have done for them this week, or just give praise because of your goodness and the blessing that you bestowed upon us. So forgive us for our sins and bless us while we stand in need of your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for all your goodness. And now, Lord, as I begin to read from Isaiah 59 and verse 19, Father, give me wisdom, give me understanding to be able to share the testimony what our pastor preached this week. So I'm thanking you for what he taught us and gave us a better understanding. So thank you, and I'm asking you to bless each and every one of us on the prayer line tonight with your grace and your mercy. And we all ask all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining Advent Light Ministry, and also welcome you to this prayer line, and may that and that you will share and talk and just let us know what God has done for you this week. May God bless you and keep you while we fellowship together. And I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. Now, this is something that we shared on the prayer line. I mean, this is something that was taught at while I was at the church on Sabbath. And what a blessing we got out of this chapter and this verse. So I like to read it to my brothers and sisters. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. And it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, said his glory. Excuse me, just give me a moment. Let me give me some light. Goodbye. Amen, amen. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And as the pastor was sharing with us this verse, he shared with us that the whole Bible is Isaiah 66, meaning that the book, the chapters in Isaiah is 66 chapters. And 66 chapters, it has 39 chapters is was the Old Testament, and the Old Testament speak of from God teaching his people to keep his commandments, and also he making judgments on his people also. So it's from the 39 Testament is all of the Old Testament. We got 66 books. So Isaiah represents the whole Bible, 66 books, 39 verses in the Old Testament and 27 verses for the New Testament. And this is how he, I'm trying to paraphrase it, what he taught. And when he said that the 39 verses of Isaiah, it teaches us about the Old Testament was leading the children of Israel and also brought them in punishment and judgment. And then the 27 chapters begin the life of Christ. And you know when it starts speaking of the New Testament, talking about a child was born and a son is given. So I just want to praise God for what he has showed us through the pastor yesterday. And if anybody didn't understand me, I'm trying to clarify it because this something I learned. I did not know that the book of Isaiah, the chapter 66, is the 66 books represent the whole Bible, kind of like getting kind of all over the place with it. But at the end, I kind of explained it. So I praise God for you, and I'm hoping that you understand what I have said. Sister Leola is not a scholar or a preacher or a teacher. I'm just a regular learner of the Bible, and by God's grace, I'm learning. Amen? So don't hold me to everything, but please, seek and check out Isaiah. And again, I want to clear it up again. The book of Isaiah, the 66 chapters of Isaiah represent the whole Bible. And 39 of the books of Isaiah is the Old Testament. And 27 of the books of Isaiah represent Christ. That's the New Testament. So go back and check it out for yourself because I'm doing some study on it myself. So I just want to thank you for being here on the prayer line. Amen. God bless you. And we're going to move forward. So now, as we are here on the prayer line, I would like to start opening the line for my brothers and sisters, and you can share your testimonies and your song. Amen. 272-770, your line is open. And you can give us your name. Amen. Where you're calling.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I hope you understood what I was trying to say, Sister Tamiko, because first I should have had it together better than what I did. But amen.
No,
I hope you
explained it. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. You explained it wonderful, and I did write it down, what you were saying. So thank you so much for sharing that with me, Sister Leola. That is such a blessing. This is Sister Tainiko from Florida, and I'm just so grateful for my beloved sisters and brothers on the prayer line. I'm so grateful to be here this evening, and I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because he takes such good care of his children. So I thank him for safe traveling mercies for the whole week. I thank him for bringing us here to Florida. It was such a wonderful travel. And the whole time I was praying and reading my Bible and giving out my tracts, some amazing facts to share with the people at gas stations, at the rest stop area, and also placing my steps to Christ. So it's such a blessing that we can share the word wherever we go. And I do like to read a scripture here in the Bible. In Psalms chapter 121 and verses 1 through 8. Amen. And it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. And I do have a song I would like to sing if I have time. I do have a song, Praise the Lord. It's taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen.
Amen. Song.
Amen. Thank you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of failing with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. The moon and stars and their courses above join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, Sister Steele. I thank you so much for opening my line, my beloved. I love you, and I'm praying for each and every one of us on the prayer line. So please, I'd like to lift up every single person on the prayer line this evening. If you could lift them all up in prayer, I greatly appreciate it, and our families as well. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All just Father, our Father, our Savior, his faithfulness, you know, is just so great that we can come every Sabbath to worship him, and we can come every evening three times a week and fellowship together. It is his faithfulness that brings us together. So I'm thankful for your song. I'm thankful for your presence on this prayer line. So God be the glory and continue to bless you, my sister. So, and we will lift up your family in prayer. And in our later prayer. Amen. So we want to ask our brothers and sisters, one, and you can begin to share now, because now is the time that you got time to, you know, to give your testimony, just to thank God for whatever you need to say at this moment. May God get the glory, my brothers and sisters, because his goodness is so long and so merciful. And I want to mention again, because I didn't have others on the line when I mentioned it, and I'm going to say it again. Brothers and sisters, I learned at the church that Isaiah, the 66 books of Isaiah, is basically the whole Bible, and it represents the whole Bible. The pastor was saying that 39 of the books of Isaiah is the Old Testament, and 27 books of the New Testament. The Old Testament all talks about how God wanted his people to worship him, to serve him, to put away the idols, he had judged them, all that. And sisters and brothers, and when it came to the New Testament, it began the life of Christ. And what Isaiah teach, he talks about a child is born and he will be given, and he will be born of a virgin. So, and when I thought about that, I say, wow, I never thought of it, that those 66 books represent the whole Bible. Did any of you knew that? The 66 books in Isaiah represent the whole Bible. 39 chapters, and then 39 represent the old, and 27 represent the new. Amen. We're asking you to press 1, and you can share. Amen. I'm waiting on my brothers and sisters to share, and I just wanted to share that news with you. Amen. So I'm going to open the line for 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Hey, this is Sister Leola. Thank you for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. Hope you can hear me well. I'm on the road. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just giving praise and honor to God. I'm thanking him for another day, his blessings, you know, upon my life and upon the life of my brothers and sisters. And I'm just thanking for the wonderful Sabbath. All the messages I've been listening from Friday, sunset, you know, preparation day, Sabbath morning, and when I went to church on Sabbath, they've been on the same point about preparing for God, keeping his promises, because we know his promises are true and his promises are for us. And, you know, there's no strength in us. We're weakling. And with his promises, when we take a hold of his hand, he will make us strong. And it just gives the points of surrendering to God and how to teach others to surrender. And we ourselves, you know, have to make that surrender. Obeying and by keeping his promises and trusting in the word of God, trusting God and taking him literally at his word. And it was just a wonderful night. I was on a prayer, all-night prayer meeting. It was powerful. We prayed and sang songs and giving testimonies and prayed for others, because we know we are in the last days. There's a bank, Silicon Bank in California, that went bottom up, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, have lost most of their money, and some had their money insured, and some didn't, and some are able to get back some, but not their, you know, savings and their retirement and different things. And we know that is coming, and it's going to happen to more and more of the bank, and it's, you know, happening in different parts of the world also. So, again, we have to be prepared for the Lord coming and, you know, to get our money out of the system of the bank, and also to be doing our gardening and preparing our home. So I'd like to offer a prayer whenever, you know, there's prayer time. Just, you know, prayer moves the arms of God, and, you know, and we're trusting that we all will be in a prayer mood for others and for the world and for repentance of the heart of others.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carla, I know you're driving. What would be a good time to offer your prayer? What would be a good time?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can do it now.
That's
yeah,
up to you.
I
go ahead and do it now. Amen.
Yes,
you can go ahead and do it now.
Yes. Amen. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for provision. Not only for me, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, I ask that you will help us to surrender everything to you, pride, envy, jealousy, backbiting, and not having patience, oh Lord, evil some arising, lying, stealing, Lord, whatever it is that draws away from you, Lord, I ask that you, we will surrender it to you, because we know no fearful person, no whoremonger, no one shall enter, murderer shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Lord. We ask that you will be with our children, those that have grandchildren. We ask that you will be with our neighbors, those that we come in contact with, Lord. We ask that you will bless them and that they may surrender to you, Lord. We also lift up the upcoming Louisiana mission trip, Lord. We ask that you will go before and soften the hearts of the people, Lord, and help us to get ready and be consecrated to do service for you and to direct the people to you, oh Father, so that they can surrender, so that they can have that transforming power within their life, within their home, Lord. Bless us again, each and every one of us, our unspoken prayer requests and whatever that's going on within our hearts, Lord. You know our needs, you know our wants, oh Father, but we ask that your will be done so that we can grow, we can prosper. We thank you, Father. We praise you, oh kind and loving Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for the prayer. And most certainly,
amen,
brothers and sisters, we need prayer. So we thank you for prayer. More prayer, more power. And that power of God will shine upon us because we surely need it. And I want to thank you for bringing that information about the bank. And sisters and brothers, we are to prepare. I'm telling you, the times is getting worse. But for the most of all, as Sister Carla was speaking about how we should just pray for one another and ask God to help and strengthen us. So thank you so much, Sister Carla, for encouraging. Go ahead.
If you have a chance, if you can read Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, 7, and 8. Revelation 21, verses 6, 7, and 8. If you get a chance,
I'll read it for you now. Yes, brothers and sisters, Sister Carla would like for me to read Revelation 21, 6, 7, and 8. Ooh, hold on, Bible. Ooh, sorry about that. 6, 7, and 8. Okay, we're reading out of Revelation 21, verses 6, 7, and 8. To me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Is that right, Sister Carla?
Yes. Yes, amen.
Okay, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. Your comment?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for reading that. And as we see, you know, let us be overcomers. You know, we know God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. There's no, he's infinite, you know. And let us, again, like you said, verse 8, let us not be, those things be named among us so that we can, you know, see our God. We can see our Creator and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And in also 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The things that are coming upon us, you know, might make some fearful, but trust in God that he will take care of us and he will be our rock and he will protect us from the evil that is coming upon the earth. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla. And we do know, my brothers and sisters, that God says whatever he said, it is truth. And so anything that believes something different, brothers and sisters, we want to believe the word of God. So I just thank you, Sister Carla, for bringing that to us this evening. And we pray for your safe traveling mercy, that God will be with you and keep you and get you to your destination. I believe you may be going to work. I don't know if that's right or not, but we will offer a prayer for you. Let us offer a prayer for Sister Carla right now, because, you know, when we are traveling on a highway, you just never know what's going to happen. So let us just offer a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we know our sister and my daughter, Lord, is on the highway traveling to work, Father, I'm lifting her up to you. No, Lord, we are lifting her up to you, Father. Not just me. We are lifting Sister Carla up to you to bless her and give her safe traveling mercy and lead and guide her. Keep her, Father, that she get to her job safe. And when she get there, Father, we also asking you for her protection and her guidance. So please be with her, keep her, and also give her the wisdom and knowledge so she can discern the things around her. So thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, my brothers and sisters. Now we're going to open the line for the next caller. We got three more of that. Press one, and we're going to get to our next caller. Welcome again, my brothers and sisters. That's been Light Ministry. Amen. 985-232. Your line is open. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for being so awesome. We thank him for watching over us and waking us up today. I had a good day. It was just because he woke me up this morning. I like to read a prayer, night prayer, devotion prayer, coming from 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Dear Heavenly Father, please make our joy immune to outward circumstance, and please empower that joy by your Holy Spirit. Please bless us as we meet to confirm our life and attitude to the example of your Savior. Please help us become better example of spiritual joy to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I put this for us because I like to depend on more than me. I like to be a family when I read a prayer. And sometimes that's why I put us, because, you know, I like to read it as a family and thanking God for what he has done for us and not just me. Because, you know, it's more than me. I like to, you know, ask the Lord for prayer. So I just thank the Heavenly Father for what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us. And thank you for being so loving and kind to us, because he gave his only begotten son. And we just know that God is always there no matter what, no matter what happened, whether it's good or bad. He always there. He don't make it happen, but he be there to comfort us, and we just don't know where to turn. But I know he's there. But I can say for myself, I know he's there. Just today I was sleeping, and I wanted to visit my other family in prayer, and I went to sleep. And something touched me and say, "You'll get up. You're missing something." And I'm like, "What I'm missing?" And I said, "Oh, I wanted to hear my nephew sing and minister gospel." You know, they're not like we are, but I give him props because he's not like he used to be. He used to be on the street drunk, acting crazy, fighting, going to jail. But now he's into the Lord, and he's made it to be a minister. So, you know, I applaud him for that. And the rest, I know the Lord gonna work on him. He's not 7 days. But my sister and Leola have been talking to him about it. But the Lord got him in church. And, you know, I get on and give him some props because he's not going to jail now. He's not out. He's not doing none of that anymore. So I thank God for him and give him a little props. The Lord, he's not doing none of that anymore. And God is good. So I ask prayer for Advent Light, our family, off and on the prayer line. Those missing, pray for all those missing, all those sick in the nursing home, wherever they may be confined. Sister Power in Jamaica, and all the other help we have off and on the line, wherever they may be. And we just want to pray for the homeless and all the other brothers and sisters traveling and wherever they're at. And we just thank God for this prayer line, and we want to pray for the bereaved, if they have any, but we know somebody is bereaved, so we thank God for the rest of y'all. Amen. Brother John is not here, that's why I talked a little long. He won't be in tonight. Amen.
Amen, amen. I just want to thank the Lord for that praise. Sisters and brother, that's a testimony because, you know, as my sister Brenda speaking about her son changing his life, and yes, he was a person that he loved his parties and all kind of things, but I've been seeing when I had a funeral, it was a funeral for one of my nephews, and he told me, he said, the things that you've been talking about, I see it's coming to pass. So I'm so grateful. And you see, brothers and sisters, this is the reason we need to be here bringing the message, because there's so many people are seeking. And I just wanted to mention to Sister Carla, that's the second or third time she prayed for the Louisiana mission to come here and share the gospel. And I forgot to say thank you, Sister Carla, for continuing to mention it, because I, you know, sometimes I'm trying to host and remember what I need to say, and I forget to say thank you, Sister Carla, for mentioning, because sometimes I forget. But I want to thank you tonight for mentioning the Louisiana mission that we got the time and the effort. So thank you so much, sisters and brothers. And listen, we have to, this mission got to work according when we're going out to share this gospel. If we need donations to help do this missionary work, because the brothers and sisters got to come from New York. They're coming from different places, not just New York. Brother Akeem come from Maryland, I think, different areas. So we need to have a place for them to stay. We got to have transportation. We got to have money to go out, and we're going to buy the people book sacks and put them a little, some little poetry things, different things in their book sack to help them out with. So a little donation, whatever you can afford to. Brother Rick is our treasurer, and you can send it to Brother Rick, or you can send it to Sister Leola. Sister Leola, if Sister Leola put it in an envelope, I'll give it to Brother Rick some kind of way. But Brother Rick is the one keeping up with that, the money for the Louisiana mission trip. And I do know that Brother Rick mentioned that we need at least $6,000, and that's for to gather the information for the to help with the people when we are out sharing the gospel. Sometimes we have to bring like a camp meeting. We purchase things to set up things. So it takes finance to do that. So whatever anyone can afford, we ask that you put towards the work of the Lord. Amen. And now we're going to continue. So I just wanted to mention that because we're trying to do this by June, or brothers and sisters, I'm just going to say we're going to need to schedule a meeting again. And I just wanted to mention that, Sister Carla and Brother Rick and Brother O'Neill or whoever else is on. So I just want to thank you once again. Amen. So we're going to continue to open up the other lines. And we're going to open up 518-744. We're opening your line, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick. And I've been sitting here listening and praising the Lord for all the testimonies, for all the way that God has been so good to everyone on the line. And we heard Carla and her news, you know, about the banks and the prayer and Sister Kamiko's song. And it's just a blessed evening, Sister, with all the folks, Sister Brenda calling in and reading their prayer. I really enjoy those, and Sister Brenda reads those. I just thank her for that also. And I just had a scripture here, Sister. Psalm 139, just a few verses here. I won't be too long. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And then that's verses 17 and 18 in Psalm 139, and then verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, Sister Carla was talking a little bit about that. You know, she's listening to these sermons, and you know, she's on the all night prayer line, and they're asking God to search them, to show them what is going on in their lives. You know, God is willing and able. He wants to show us the things in our lives that we need to that we need Him to remove for us, but we have to ask Him. He just doesn't come in and do it without us asking. He says, call on me, ask me to search you. When I search you, I will show you the things that need changing, need to be removed, need to be done away with. And then when He shows us those things, then we have to take it to Him again and say, Lord, please take these things from me. And willfully, we can turn away from those things with His power. And He can save us from our sins, not in our sin, but from our sins, Sister. It just, you know, God is so good. And He is just waiting anxiously each moment for us to turn to Him, to call on Him, to praise Him, to ask Him anything. So let us remember that, brothers and sisters, we have a great and mighty God, worthy to be praised. He has a strong right arm, as the scripture says so often, and He is just willing to help us each moment of each day. So let us be faithful. Let's keep lifting each other up in prayer. I've been lifting my brothers and sisters up. Please lift me up and my family. My daughter Ashley, I just heard from her today. She is down in New York City working. She said she's doing okay. I don't like the idea that she's down in the city. It's a lot of temptation down there, I should say. And but you know, God is good. He has kept her this far, and I am trusting that He will continue to keep her on her journey. So let us lift each other up, and Sister Leola, be lifting up your son Jarvis. And we know that Sister Tuneko's children, it's just we have to lift up each other's families, because more prayer, more power. So I just thank you for opening the line. Please continue to keep us all in prayer. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Definitely, as I'm hoping, you say you did see Ashley, right? You heard from her.
Yes, actually, my wife heard from her, talked to her on Messenger. We don't have a phone number for her, so we can converse with her back and forth on Messenger. She hasn't answered me, but she answered my wife, and she said she is doing well and looking for an apartment down there, which those apartments are so expensive, sister. We're talking, you know, a little apartment, you know, $2,000 a month for a little tiny apartment. And yes, well, you can make a lot of money in the city, but it costs a lot of money to live there. And like I say, the temptations there are unnumbered temptations down there. So that's why God, urges us to remove ourselves from the city. Do not raise our children in the city, because those temptations oftentimes get the best of those young people when they're young. And before they know it, they are into things that they shouldn't be. But, you know, God is good. He is faithful. So we're just trusting in Him to do all that He can for our children.
Yes, amen, amen. And Brother Rick, we know that God is able, and He is working
amen.
In them. He's working it out. Because you know what?
Yes.
If just as He did for us, Brother Rick, we were there once. We
mm-hmm.
played the game. We did that. And God worked it out for us. He allowed us to be here today to see,
amen.
You know, our children. And you know what? They're no different than what we were. Today, the children is, you know, they hear God. They hear Him. But it's going to come a time when they're going to make that change. We heard Him. We didn't understand.
Amen.
We saw some, but by God's grace, as we got older, we came. And God's going to do the same thing for them. He's going to work on the heart. So we just praise God for what He's doing for our children. You know, Jarvis is 35 now. And Jarvis is here today. Mm. Sister Ashley is here. God is working on them. He hasn't left them.
Amen.
He hasn't, as long as that blood's still running in our body, we still have a time to make that choice. So we're gonna offer a prayer after Brother Eli, we open Brother Eli. We're going to pray for our children. Amen? So thank you, Brother
Amen.
Rick, for coming on. And thank you so much for always keeping Jarvis in prayer. I have that hope that God will deliver this child. He's going to deliver him, because I put him in the Lord's hands. Because there's nothing that I can do. I can talk to him. I go out there and give him fresh clothing. I go and try to do what I can do. But you know what? God has the rest, Brother Rick. He's going to do the rest. So let us just praise Him for what He's doing. We're going to offer prayers for our family. So thank you, Brother Rick. And now we're going to open the line for Brother Eli. Brother Eli, we're opening your number, of course, 857. Your line is open.
Amen.
Hey, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Miola, for opening my line. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters. How are you doing, my beloved brothers and sisters? God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Miola, first of all, I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because God is good. He's merciful. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I have a prayer request, my dear sister. My prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Miola. I'm lifting up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please lift up Brother Javel in prayer that the Lord will change his life. Pray to the Lord that, Sister Miola, how you say that? That the Lord will deliver Brother Javel in the mighty name of Jesus, because Brother Javel needs deliverance too, Sister Miola, just like Sister Ashley, just like Brother Jarvis, just like the others, Sister Miola. Brother Javel needs deliverance, my dear sister. He's a young man, but Sister Miola, he needs a lot. He needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, Brother Dylan say to Brother Javel, Are you ready to baptize? And Brother Javel say, no. Sister Miola, I don't know what is going on, but God is merciful. God knows everything. What's Brother Javel's going through? God knows, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, God would deliver him from darkness. God would deliver him from evil. Because Sister Miola, I want to sing a special song, Sister Miola, for Sister Tamiko and everyone on the prayer line. Amen. Can I sing a song before you pray, my beloved sister? Great is my faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is a mercy and great is my Father, great is my faithfulness unto his word. Great is my faithfulness. Thanks, Sister Tamiko. Great is my faithfulness. Morning by morning, to mercy and great is my Father. Great is my faithfulness unto his word. Thanks, Sister Miola. Great is my faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is a mercy at all. Mercy, my great is my Father. Great is my faithfulness unto his word. Sister Miola, everybody sing. Great is my faithfulness. Great is my faithfulness. Mercy by mercy. Mercy at all. Great is my Father. Great is my faithfulness. Great is my faithfulness. Great is my faithfulness unto his word. Let me do off for a prayer, Sister Viola, for individual.
Amen.
In this life.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead. Off the prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we want to give you thanks, God. We want to give you praise because, God, you deserve the praise, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, you are worthy to be praised, God. You are awesome, God. You are mighty, God. There is no one else like you, Lord. God, we want to lift our Sister Miola, God, who is hosting the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to God bless Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Miola the strength, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, give Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, we want to lift our Sister Miola's son too, Lord. Her son, her daughter, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord, in the Marquay, Lord. God, we ask God to cover Sister Miola's window post, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Miola's door post, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, watch over Sister Miola, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, we want to live for Sister Carla, God, in Tennessee, Lord. We ask God to allow her to drive safe, Lord. We ask God to her, Lord. We ask God to come deliver her, Father. We ask you, God. We ask God to come bless her daughter, God. Her son, too, Lord. Come bless Nicholas, too, Lord. Come bless Sister Amanda, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to strengthen them, Lord. We ask you, God. We ask God to baptize them, Lord, in water, Lord. We ask God to baptize them, Lord, in water, Lord. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, we ask God to break every chain for them, Lord. Allow them to baptize, Lord. Allow them to say Psalms 27. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Allow them to read that scripture, Lord. We ask God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko's son and her daughter too, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko's daughter, Lord. Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God to baptize Sister Keisha, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God to baptize Amen. Sister Keisha, Lord, in the Seventh-day Adventist, Lord. And we ask God to baptize Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God, allow her to read, Lord, Psalms 27. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Lord, I'm asking you, God, to... God, touch her, sister, touch her, Lord. God, come deliver her, God. Come deliver Sister Tamiko to Lord. Bless her husband to Lord. God, we want to deliver Sister Tamiko's beloved husband to you, Lord. Brother Tony, Lord. We ask God to baptize Brother Tony, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to watch over Brother Tony, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, God. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen Sister Miola's family. Strengthen every family, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko's mother too, Lord. God, we ask God to come watch over her, Lord. Watch over Brother Rick's family, Lord. God, come bless Brother Rick, Lord. God, come bless every family, Lord. We ask God, allow Sister Miola, God, to do the second prayer, Lord. We ask God to come bless all of us, Lord. Allow Sister Miola, God, to do a special prayer for me too, Lord. We ask God to come bless Amen. All of us, God. God, we want to give you thanks and praise, Lord. Come bless all of us, God. Bless Sister Powell's family, Lord. Watch over Sister Powell. Watch over Sister Stephanie's family, Lord. Watch over every family, Lord. Watch over Sister Marianne, too, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. God, come bless Sister Daisy, too, Lord. Just like Sister Miola, pray for Sister Daisy, Lord. Allow Sister Daisy, God, to come back on the prayer line, God, to praise you, Father, to worship you, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord. We ask God to watch over Elder Richardson, Lord. We ask God to, God, you have a special plan for Elder Richardson, Lord. Come bless Brother O'Neill, too, Lord. Allow Brother O'Neill, God, to come to Bay Cove, too, Lord. Allow him to learn, God, current events, Lord. God, come bless Brother O'Neill, God. Watch over him, Lord. God, watch over Brother Akeem, who's coming. Preach on the prayer line, Lord. We ask the God to watch over Brother Akeem James, Lord. Watch over every family, Lord. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Praise God, my brothers and sisters. Oh, we want to thank the Lord for using Brother Eli. So thank you, Brother Eli, for lifting up all the brothers and sisters. And we're going to continue in prayer because we want to pray for Sister Brenda and her son, and ask the Lord to help her son and to continue what he's been doing. He's God is leading him down the road, and he's began to listen to some of the things. So I just praise God. I'm not going to speak too fast because, you know, we want to allow God to work in a person's life rather than say quick. And I noticed that about many people, myself. We don't want to praise God. We just want to give him thanks for what he's doing and in the lives of our family. So we're going to ask my brothers and sisters, we're going to ask Brother Rick if he has time to offer a prayer. And then I will pray, and Brother Akeem would be coming on shortly. Amen. So let us ask Brother Rick if he could offer a prayer also. Amen, brothers and sisters. Brother Rick, will you be able to offer a prayer for us? We appreciate
Amen.
It.
Yes.
Can you lift up Sister Brenda in prayer and her son? Her son is making some changes in his life. The main one we want to lift up is her daughter. Lift her daughter up in prayer also, and lift up Sister Powell and her ministry. We don't want to give you too many, so we'll somebody else will take the next prayer. Amen. So go ahead, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Alrighty, let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we just pause for a moment, Lord. We know that we are kneeling before the King of the universe, the Creator, Maker of all things, the Sustainer, the Savior, the Redeemer. Oh, Lord, we just are in awe of you because we are sinful, despicable creatures, Lord. Lord, you have come down. You have offered to trade our ugly sin for your robe of righteousness, Lord. And Lord, this evening we are asking for that robe of righteousness to cover us. Lord, forgive our sins. Lord, may we be cleansed from all unrighteousness, Lord. May our hearts be lifted to you, Lord. Knit together with your heart, so that when your Father sees us, Lord Jesus, that we will be just like you. Lord, we know that without you, we are nothing. We would die in our sins. Lord, we just thank you for your gift, for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy, your grace, and the power that you give us to overcome sin, Lord. Lord, tonight we want to lift up Sister Brenda, Brother John, and their children. Lord. Sister Brenda was talking about her son, Lord, and making changes. No, Father, that is only your Spirit doing that. Holy Spirit leading and guiding, Lord. We're just grateful that he is making these changes. May you continue to guide him. May you continue to speak to him. Keep him from harm, Lord. Set your angels about him, Lord. May he continue in the truth. May he find the whole truth, Lord. Lord, Sister Brenda's daughter, too, Brother John's daughter. Father, we just lift her up, Lord. I don't know what that situation is, but you know what is going on, Lord. We want her to come to you, Lord. We want to hear these folks on the prayer line, giving a testimony of your goodness to them, Lord. Please, Lord, save them. Your kingdom will come. Father, we think of Sister Polly and her ministry there in Jamaica. She's been such a blessing there to those folks. Oh, Father, strengthen her, protect her, guide her, heal her, Lord. Keep her from the devices of the enemy, Lord. and she be strong in the work that she does, be just exactly what is needed. Lord, give her wisdom, give her strength, give her peace, give her rest, Lord, as she is working hard. And we just want her to be healthy. We want her to be safe, Lord. Please take care of her, Lord, as she is ministering to those people. Father, we're just grateful for your goodness to us. Just thank you for this prayer line of each person that has come on tonight, Lord. Father, we praise you. We lift you up high. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for offering prayer for us. And we're going to ask one more prayer. And as Brother Rick has offered prayer for Sister Powell, Sister Brenda, and others, we're going to ask another prayer for Sister Tamiko. We're going to ask, see if she can offer a prayer. Sister Tamiko, you can offer a prayer? Okay, maybe not. Okay, well, brothers and sisters, I'll offer a quick prayer. Amen. And hopefully Brother Akeem could be joining us soon. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we want to give you thanks once again. Father, I lift up Brother Rick to you, Father, as he has offered a prayer for many others. We asking you to bless he and his family. We asking that you continue to give him a blessing and watching over him, Lord, even while he present to you, Father, his daughter and Jarvis, all our children, Father. We've been praying for our children for years and asking that you would help each and every one of them in their life. Father, we know that Jarvis right now want to live in a home, but Lord Father, he's out there homeless. And Lord Father, you have to work in his heart to let him know that is not the will of God to be homeless, but it's the will for God to, for him to be obedient and to listen to the Father, and the Father would give him blessing. Our home would do everything for him. And we also lift up Sister Melissa to you, Father, because, Lord, you know what your daughter have need of. Lord, Father, she's seeking out her apartment. And we ask him that you bless her, Father. We ask him that you, Father, allow her to get a place that will help her, Lord, Father. People are just making rent so high that, you know, people can't even reach it to be able to get into decent place. So, Father, we plead in before you for our daughter to allow her to get a place that that will be efficient and not so extremely high. Bless her, Father, and her job and whatever she's doing, Father. Bless her. We ask you keep her, Lord. And also, Father, we pray for our listeners on the prayer line. We ask that you would help them as they on here listening to the word, as Brother Akeem bring the word. He's supposed to be bringing to us some powerful word tonight. And I'm asking that you lead him and that you give him words to speak on this prayer line that we can be changed, Lord, that these words will filter and help us in our heart, that we can lean not on our own understanding, but we can accept your word as you have said. So thank you, Father, for blessing us tonight. Bless Brother Akeem, and I'm asking you to bless each and every one of us on this prayer line. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we also lift up each and every one that I have not mentioned. Lord, you know the names. My sister Brenda, many other names, Lord, that I didn't mention. So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So brothers and sisters, as we are waiting on Brother Akeem, we have anyone else that would like to share. We asking you to press 1 and your line could be open. If there's anyone else like to share, we can open your line. And if not, we can see if Sister Tamika can give us a song. Sister Tamika, you can give us a song. Okay, she's not available to give us a song. So, brothers and sisters, as we are continuing to wait on Brother Brother Akeem, I'm asking that you be patient, and I want to say welcome to all my brothers and sisters on the prayer line, and I'm asking that each and everyone to keep this prayer line in prayer. We'll bless this prayer line just as he have for the past 10 years. I think it's about 10 years now that we've been here, and God is blessing. So I'm asking that you keep it in prayer. Amen. And also, okay, hold on, brothers and sisters. I have someone that pressed one. Give me just a second. 518, I see that you pressed one again.
Yeah, Sister Leola. You're offering prayer, and you did not lift up Sister Tamiko, so you can't get a hold of her right now. So I just want to say a short prayer for her if we have a moment.
Yes, go ahead again.
Yes, okay. Dear Father, at this moment, we come before you again, Lord, because you are merciful, because you are gracious, because you are so good and loving, Lord. Father, we want to lift up our sister Tamiko to you right now, dear Lord. She is down there in Florida with her daughter, Lord. And Father, I have not heard whether she's been able to get to a place yet to stay. So, Father, we just do lift her up. We lift up her finances. We lift up her spiritual well-being, Lord. We lift up her family, her daughter, her son, her husband, her whole family, Lord, and especially her, Lord. Keep her strong. Lord, may your spirit be surrounding her, Father God. You give her strength. May you give her peace. May you give her wisdom and understanding, Lord. Father, we just do lift her up at this moment, Father. She is such a dear soul to us and to you, Lord. Always coming on with a good word, Lord. Always singing a song, Lord. And we're just grateful for her. Father, please guide her and bless her, Lord. And Brother Eli, too, Lord. We heard his prayers tonight, Lord. We heard his song, Lord. And his love for you. Please bless him, and Father, be with his mother, Lord, as he's lifting her up. And Brother Javel, Lord, he wants to lift up Brother Javel in a special way. So we just do pray for him also. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Guide us. Keep us tonight, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Now, Brother Akeem is here, brothers and sisters, and we just ask that you have your pen and paper if you want to take some notes, but Brother Akeem is going to bring our message tonight. So let me say Pastor Akeem. Akeem will bring our message. Amen. 301-640, your line is open.
All right. All right. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For the opportunity to, amen. Glad to be back on once again. And as we go into our message today, we'll be going into a series I'm currently doing at the church where I'm pastoring. And we're going over right now the seven seals. And so we started off on the first seal this week, and that's one of the things that we'll be going through today. And so as we go through that subject, I pray that we'll be blessed and that we'll gain a rich understanding from the topic as we see Christ in that subject. And so if you would bow your heads with me for a word of prayer as we commence. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word together. Bless our hearts and minds, and give us wisdom, that we may truly comprehend the times in which we live, and learn from the past as well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, give me one second. second. All right, so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and we're going to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and as we go there, pray that as we cover this topic, it will make sense. So Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. Now, one of the things that it reveals to us in chapter 4, the reason we're going over chapter 4, some may be asking the question, well, the seven seals begin in chapter 6, and it goes all the way to chapter 8, verse 1. So why are we starting off in chapter 4? The reason we're starting off in chapter 4 is because chapter 4 gives us the context of the first seal. Many do not realize that there is a system through which the book of Revelation can be comprehended, can be understood. If that system is not understood, we'll have a lot of different interpretations, which has happened over and over and over and over again. And this is one of the reasons that God called our pioneers, Ellen White, James White, Jan Lofru, Jan Andrews, and many others, to write concerning the things that they came to an understanding of. Why? Because as they were able to allow the Bible to interpret itself and understand by illumination of the Holy Spirit the way that the Bible unlocks itself through Scripture, then what happened was a way was paved for future generations. And this is one of the reasons why Ellen White continued to mention to her husband this need to settle down and to study the Word of God and to write more than necessarily going around to different places and preaching, to sit down and write upon different subjects. And the reason being that she understood and saw that the people in future generations would need instruction as it concerns those things. This is why, in light of the many places that she went, there was times and seasons where she took to just sit down at her desk and write different volumes, different testimonies, testimonies for the church, volume 1 to 9, write books like The Great Controversy and Desire of Ages and Steps to Christ. And her husband was being called to do that work. Sadly, he was a workaholic. And so he worked himself to the point where it was the first time he got the stroke in working himself, overworking himself. And then the next time it happened, friends, it was his last time. And he ultimately died because there were other men that did not take up the work as they were supposed to. And so James White, rather than having faith in God that he would raise up men, which he did raise up after his death, he tried to take it all on himself, sadly, and the result was his death. But this is the reason why inspiration tells us we need not fear for the future, except we forget God's leading in our past history and his teaching. Because the groundwork that has been laid out by those who have gone before us is a firm and biblical groundwork, friends. The way of truly understanding the books of Daniel and Revelation, and many may question that now. Many choose to be illuminated by it, but many question it. The time will come when we are told that all will know that Seventh-day Adventists have the truth as it concerns how to interpret the scriptures. Everyone will know when the events begin to unfurl in power and in rapidity, in such speed that it will blow the minds of the people. Everyone will know then that what we have been saying and the interpretation of Scripture was not private interpretation, but it was the true way of interpreting the text. So this is why, as I said to my congregation, I would say to you, if you are having issues with, hey, Akeem, yeah, I hear what you're saying on Ellen White, but I want to be able to know that this comes from the Bible. Fine. If you want to do that, there are two books I recommend that you get. The two are God Cares, Volume 1, which is a commentary on the book of Daniel, breaking down each passage or if you want to get on Revelation, the next one that I recommend is God Cares, Volume 2, which is a breaking down of the book of Revelation. The gentleman's name who did this commentary, based on the very principles that were laid down prior by comparing scripture with scripture, his name is C. Mervyn Maxwell. Of course, he has passed for years now. But his writings truly live on, and it helps us to understand the books of Daniel and Revelation. And so I truly recommend, as I did to my congregation, I recommend that you get that book. Then you also have Taylor G. Bunch, Studies in the Revelation. Studies in the Revelation. That is another great book on how to break down the prophecies in Daniel and Revelation, and in Daniel to understand Revelation. And so I recommend these books, friends. We can't just come up with our own ideas of what we think a passage means. There are biblical principles that have been laid down. William Miller discovered those principles, and many others before and after him, to really understand what the Bible is really trying to say, so we don't misapply the scriptures to anything that we feel is prophecy. And so as we go into this, we're going now to the book of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And this is what it says there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. And so I hope you have that with you. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. And this is what it says there. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Now notice, the voice that John heard was as the voice of a trumpet. Is that anywhere else in the book of Revelation? If you go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, it actually tells us, John speaking of his vision that he received on the Sabbath, said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That means he was in vision now, on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. But whose voice was this? Verse 11 gives us the answer, saying, so this voice that was like the voice of a trumpet said what? I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, here it is, one like unto the Son of Man. And then begins a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know who this Son of Man is? When you go to the book of Matthew chapter 16 and you read verse 13, Jesus Christ refers to himself by that title. Because when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So what do we see here? We're realizing that Jesus Christ identifies himself by the title Son of Man. All right, so when we go back to Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 1, we see that Jesus is the one with the voice of a trumpet. So Jesus Christ calls John up to the kingdom, to heaven, because he's about to show him what is about to happen, or rather than what is about to happen, what has taken place in times prior. All right, now the reason that we know this is because as we continue studying the book of Revelation, we're going to find out that this is really what happened. Jesus was about to reveal to John things that happened just a few years prior to that vision that John was having in chapter 4. So just a few years prior, something major happened, and John is about to see what that thing was. What did he, now, so John is taken up into vision, and what does he see? Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, and immediately I was in the spirit, same language, in vision, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne. Here it is, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, friends, we know that God does not have 7 spirits. So why would it say here, which are the 7 spirits of God? In Scripture, the number 7 is a symbol of completeness or perfection. God has one spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. In other words, the third person of the Godhead, one who is also equal with God and Christ. But that spirit is perfect. Hence, he is represented as the 7 spirits of God. And where is he? He's before the throne. In other words, the perfect spirit is in the very presence of the perfect God. All right? Now, there's another reason that the 7 spirits, the Holy Spirit, is referred to as the 7 spirits. If you take your Bibles and you go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, we will see it. Isaiah chapter 11, and this is what it says concerning the Messiah, who would be anointed with the Holy Spirit. This is what it says about him. It says about the Messiah, chapter 11 of Isaiah, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And now this can't be talking about David, because David's already long dead and gone. So this has to be a descendant of David, which is also a descendant of Jesse, because Jesse was David's father. So it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is a messianic prophecy. And look at what happens. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So the Holy Ghost rests upon him. But look at how it breaks down the Holy Ghost. What is it that the Holy Spirit gives Christ as he rests upon him? Right? You're probably thinking of the baptism. What is it that the Holy Spirit gives Christ as he rests upon him? The verse continues, the spirit of wisdom, 1, and understanding, 2, the spirit of counsel, 3, and might, 4, the spirit of knowledge, 5, and the fear of the Lord, 6. And then it says in verse 3, it's not just that he will have understanding. That was one part of what we read already. The Bible says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. It is one thing to understand. It is another thing to have speed in understanding. Christ would have both. Sometimes it may take us time to understand certain concepts and principles. But friends, as we look throughout Christ's ministry, we not only find out that Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered, so he did have to grow and adapt and learn. Friends, he also had situations where, out of the blue, different crises would come into his life, different tests from his enemies. And Christ had quick understanding in order to address the situation in light of his respect or fear of the Lord. That's 7. 7 things we find there. The sevenfold spirit. That's what we're seeing in the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 4, when we read about this, these 7 spirits before the throne of God, it is the sevenfold spirit, the Holy Spirit, who has all that man needs, all that the Messiah needed when he stood for God in this world. And where is that spirit? In a large degree, when John saw the spirit in chapter 4, he was before the throne. Now, don't forget that. Don't that, friends. All right? So the Father, what we've seen so far, is we've seen John goes up into vision by the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? It begins with the voice of Jesus. So he hears the voice of Jesus. Spirit takes him into vision. And as he goes into vision, he sees the Father on the throne. The appearance of the Father is as jasper, a jasper and sardine stone. Not only that, he sees around the throne where the Father sits, 24 elders. In the midst of the throne, four living creatures. And so as he sees this, you can imagine it blows his mind away. Now, at the end of chapter 4, notice that everyone begins to worship the Father. Why? Verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So in other words, the Father is worshipped because he is creator. And remember this scene, all right? Right now, we're going to see probably when we get to the chapter 5, we're going to see some new elements, but it's the same scene. It is not a different scene. Because what does it tell us in chapter 5? "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne." So John is continuing from the previous chapter. It's the same throne room scene. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals." All right? So it's the same scene. So we know what system are we seeing here. We're seeing a system that is totally connected. There are times when the book of Revelation goes back and forth. It may explain a principle in general and then go back a few chapters later and explain that same principle in detail. But there are times when you have two chapters actually going in chronological order. And this is one of those chapters because why? The scene is the same. It hasn't changed. There's new elements about to be added, but it hasn't changed. So we know that this is a continuation of chapter 4, all right? So in light of this now, in light of this, we're realizing, okay, so the Father is sitting on the throne as creator, 24 elders and the four living creatures looking on. And as he is there, in his right hand is a scroll, right? And the scroll, as the Bible tells us, is written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And it lay basically, as the Greek would say, the Greek would actually say, "And I saw on the right hand." So the Father's hand is extended and the scroll lay on the palm of his hand. 2 says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And then it says in verse 3, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." But John knew there was something important in that scroll, and he knew that it was so important that to him not to be able to open the scroll was torture. How much torture? Verse 4 tells us, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." So who is worthy is the question. To open the scroll and to loose its seals, the answer is no man. The Greek word there, if you're ever looking for a website where you can actually look up the meaning of, whether you're reading the Old Testament, the Hebrew or Aramaic words, what they mean, because there are certain portions of Daniel that are written in Aramaic, and then the majority of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, if you want a place where you can go and look at that and find out the original meaning, I would give you a resource known as blueletterbible.com, blueletterbible.com. And it's one among many other resources. This one is free, but of course you have other resources that like eSword and things of that nature, Logos, or accordance, where you can go back and look at the original meaning of words. And in the New Testament, the original Greek and its meaning. So this word actually means not even one, man, woman, or thing, none, nobody, nothing. This word no one or no man. So nothing, there was no other person. Now, remember, the idea being communicated is that no one, not even the highest angel, was eligible to open the scroll. The Father, of course, being omniscient, meaning knowing all things, is the only other person who knows what's in the scroll. But the question being posed is, the Father is posing by holding out the scroll. The question that he's posing is there any other being who is qualified to unlock and understand the content in the scroll? Is there anyone that is equal with myself that can join in understanding and knowing the content in this scroll? Is there anyone that is an equal to me? And friends, it's powerful, because we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. But before we read this, Uriah Smith said it this way in Daniel and Revelation. And he was another one who understood to a great degree the prophetic principles and systems in Daniel and Revelation, whereby we are able to unlock the prophecies in both books. He stated here concerning Revelation chapter 5 and verse 4, who would be found worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? A pause ensued. In silence, the universe owned its inability and unworthiness to enter into the counsels of the Creator. That's what that book was. That book contained the very counsels of Jehovah. That's what it contained, friends. But the good news is, there was one. In all of the universe, one other person that can enter into those counsels. And praise God, because verse 5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld. So John hears this. He hears that one is worthy. He hears the Lion is worthy. But when he looks to see the Lion, he sees what made the Lion worthy. You see, when we think of Lion, we think of power. We think of might. And John heard about that. But when he looked to see who this Lion was, he saw a Lamb. You see, what gave Jesus his power, what makes Jesus so majestic as the Lion, was his innocence. It was the fact that in a fallen world, he maintained his purity. In a world destitute and wicked, he remained humble and his allegiance intact. And so this, and in light of that, he died because he lived a victorious death. He lived a victorious life. He died a victorious death. He was made worthy. He became the worthy Lion because he died as a Lamb, spotless, totally dependent upon God. And so hence it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, meaning perfect power. Horns represent in scripture power, so it means perfect. Seven horns, perfect power. And seven eyes, perfect knowledge. So what does that mean? That means that when Christ rose from the dead, friends, apart from his ability to be omnipresent because he was still dwelling in human flesh, friends, his omnipotence and his omniscience was restored to him. And so it says here, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. But notice this. What happened to the seven spirits? In chapter 4, the seven spirits, the Holy Spirit, was before God's throne. But where are the seven spirits now? Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And the reason it calls the seven horns and seven eyes the seven spirits is because it is the Holy Spirit, while Christ was on earth, gave him power. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him understanding, that gave him knowledge and wisdom as he operated as every man must operate to gain that wisdom and understanding. And now that same Holy Spirit, the omnipotence, the omnipresence of Christ, and the very knowledge of Christ goes down. It goes down to the earth. And so you can guess probably what event is happening. What event is taking place? So I want you to notice this. according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, why the Lamb was worthy is because primarily in light of the fact that he became human and was ultimately slain. This gives us a hint as to what is contained in the scroll. That scroll must in some way be connected to humanity and its history. That's what it tells us in verse 9. It says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to the Lamb, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seven seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now notice in verse 6, when John sees Jesus, when he hears about Jesus, he hears about Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when he sees Jesus in verse 6, he sees him as a lamb, as it had been slain, which means you can guess what event recently took place. The event that recently took place, friends, was the cross. That's one of the reasons why Christ was not mentioned in chapter 4. It's the same scene, but now with a new component of Christ coming out of nowhere. Where did he come from? He just descended from planet Earth. You see, the crucifixion had took place a few days prior. And so, friends, what we're seeing here, here's how I'll put it to you. All right, so something to keep in mind is that when the Lamb appears before the Father's throne in Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it appears to have recently been slain. This helps us to understand that the crucifixion had recently transpired. Therefore, the reason Christ did not appear in chapter 4, but showed up out of nowhere in chapter 5, is because he had just ascended from earth to heaven. The year when this happened was 31 AD. The reason we know this is due to the fact that Jesus' public ministry lasted for 3.5 years. And those of you who understand, I had to do a little more other way to bring this out without going into the 409-year prophecy. But if you know the 409-year prophecy, friends, you understand that Christ, when he was anointed in the year 27 AD. The way that we know this is in Luke chapter 3, it tells us it was the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar that John the Baptist's ministry began. And it was at the time, at that very time, when John the Baptist's ministry began, shortly thereafter, Christ came and was baptized, that very year. Now, when you search and when you do research, you realize the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar was actually 27 AD. 27 AD. Now, some may say, well, Akeem, I looked it up on Google. It says 26. One thing to keep in mind is that as you transition from BC to AD, there is no zero year. So you have to add a year. So 26 add 1, you get the correct date, because there's no zero year. So it's 27 AD. Christ began his ministry. And as the prophecy told us in Daniel chapter 9, it will last. He would confirm the covenant with many from that time that he was baptized for 7 years, 1 week. Every day in that week representing a year. So 7 years. The Bible then tells us in the midst of the week, he would be cut off. Messiah would be cut off, meaning he would die. So what is the midst of seven? What is half of seven, friends? 3.5. So Christ, from 27 AD to 31 AD, he confirmed, he did his part in doing public ministry, and then he confirmed the next 3.5 years to complete the seven through his apostles, through his disciples. So what we're realizing here is, wow, okay, so Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit after his baptism, 27 AD. 3.5 years would bring us to 31 AD. In 31 AD, Christ was slain. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. 40 days after that, in the same year, he ascended to glory. Final ascension to glory. And then, connected to that, only 10 days after his ascension, what happened? The day of Pentecost. Now do you see why it tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 that it says the Spirit of God was sent forth into all the earth. Once the Lamb appeared in the throne room above, the Spirit went down to the earth. In other words, Pentecost took place. So verse 6 is showing us the appearance of the Lamb, where the Father is, in heaven above. But at the same time, it's also showing us the descending of the Holy Spirit to come down on the day of Pentecost to give power to the disciples to do the work of spreading the gospel to the then known world. And so, friends, this is the reason that this is so powerful is because do you know where the Father was at this time? Do you know where Jesus ascended to? He ascended according to the Bible. If you look in Hebrews chapter 8, it actually tells us there. Now, and this is verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now of the things which I have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. All right? For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. And he had already given his life as a sacrifice, right? So we're realizing that Jesus ascended to the sanctuary above. The very next place that the priest officiated in the Old Testament, after officiating in the courtyard, is, and that's the symbol of Jesus' earthly ministry, the next place that he would officiate was not the most holy place. It was not the most holy place, but it was the holy place. And so therefore, when Christ ascended from earth, the courtyard, he went to the holy place. And friends, that's where Christ went when he ascended. He went to the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, himself the sacrifice with his own blood, being the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And I want to read this to you guys just to give you a concept. So when we're reading Revelation chapter 4 and 5, do you know what we're reading? We're reading the scene that we're seeing there in our imagination as we read it is the scene that is taking place in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And I want to read this to you guys. And friends, this place is bigger than anything that we can ever conceive. I want to read this to you just to give you a glimpse here, because this is as Jesus was about to transition from the holy to the most holy place. That would come later on in history. But right now, we're realizing in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we're seeing when Jesus ascended to the holy place. But I just want to give you a picture as to how big this sanctuary actually is. I saw a throne. This is early writings chapter 10. I saw a throne, and on it sat the Father and the Son. I gazed on Jesus' countenance and admired his lovely person. The Father's person I could not behold, for a cloud of glorious light covered him. And I asked Jesus if his Father had a form like himself. He said he had, but I could not behold it. For said he, listen to this, if you should once behold the glory of his person, you would cease to exist. That's how powerful the Father is. Before the throne, I saw the Advent people, the church, and the world. I saw two companies, one bowed down before the throne, deeply interested with the other, while the other stood uninterested and careless. Those who were bowed down before the throne would offer up their prayers and look to Jesus. Then he would look to his Father and appear to be pleading with him. A light would come from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the praying company. Then I saw an exceeding bright light come from the Father to the Son, and from the Son it waved over the people before the throne. Now where is this throne? Watch this, all right? Many came out from under it and immediately resisted, and others were careless and did not cherish the light. And it moved off from them. Some cherished it and went and bowed down with a little praying company. This company all received the light and rejoiced in it, and their countenances shone with its glory. Now look at this. I saw the Father rise from the throne. Now look at how big the sanctuary is in heaven. This is how big it is. Are you ready? On earth, we only had in Moses' day, and even when Solomon built the temple, it was a small replica of the enormous edifice of a sanctuary in heaven. How do we know this? It says, I saw the Father rise from the throne, and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies. So where were they the entire time up till now? In the holy place. So you see what part of history we are in right now? We're in the time just before there was the transition from the holy to the most holy. So in other words, early writings chapter 10 is bringing us up it's bringing us up to 1844. But it's just prior to that, when the Father and the Son were still in the holy place. Now, this tells you how big this place is. In order for the Father to have to get into a chariot to be transitioned from one place to another, the sanctuary in heaven must be huge. It says, I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down. Then Jesus rose up from the throne, and the most of those who were bowed down arose with him. That's those who are following the light, probably the Millerite message. I did not see one ray of light pass from Jesus to the careless multitude after he arose, and they were left in perfect darkness. Those who arose when Jesus did kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne and led them out a little way. Now, where was he going? Then he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice saying, wait here, I am going to my Father to receive the kingdom. Keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding to receive you to myself. Now look at what Jesus now does. Then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire, surrounded by angels, the picture of Daniel 7, came to where Jesus was. He stepped into the chariot and was borne or carried to the holiest, where the Father sat. There I beheld Jesus standing before the Father, a great high priest. On the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. Those who rose up with Jesus would send up their faith to him in the holiest and pray, my Father, give us thy spirit. Then Jesus would breathe upon them the Holy Ghost. In that breath was light, power, much love, joy, and peace. And we'll stop there for now. So what we're seeing here, friends, is in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, the picture that we are getting, just before we go into the first seal next week, we are seeing that this is when Jesus had just ascended from the courtyard of planet Earth to the very holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. He had ascended. This is the place where God was now sitting on the throne with the 24 elders surrounding him and the four living creatures. And he just ascended from earth, left his disciples, and with his ascension, as he promised, I will send the Holy Ghost. So what happens? The Holy Ghost, represented under the term the seven spirits of God, descended upon the earth. And now Pentecost took place, a sign to the disciples that Christ now stood before the throne of God. And so this is the picture. What year was this? As we just looked, the year was 31 AD, halfway through the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. So Jesus did his ministry for 3.5 years from 27 AD. That brings us to 31 AD, in which he was crucified, in which he was buried, in which he was resurrected, in which he went in and out among his disciples for 40 days, and then finally ascended. And the Holy Spirit, with his ascension, descended upon his apostles, upon those 120 in the upper room. So this is the scene that took place in AD 31. 31 AD is the year that we're looking at. So when we now get to Revelation chapter 6, and Jesus opens the first seal, because Revelation chapter 6 is a continuation of chapters 4 and 5. Jesus now has the scroll in his hand. He's the only one worthy. And as he opens it, that is the year. The year is AD 31. So stay tuned for the next time, next week, as we go in to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. For now, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, O Lord, that these things made sense to us, that we may know that there is a high priest who can enter into the eternal counsels of God because he himself is God. But he is worthy to enter into those counsels because he's also man. And it shows us that whatever is in that scroll, it is connected to humanity in some way, shape, or form. And so, Father, I pray that as we seek to understand the more sure word of prophecy, that, Lord, what I shared here this evening was clear. Continue to guide us, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Akeem, I would like to know for sure, the bell and the pomegranate. Where did you say it was again?
So that can be found in the book, Early Writings, page 55, paragraph 1.
And what does the bell and the pomegranate mean?
So, okay, that's a great question. So in the Old Testament, when the high priest went into the most holy place, which is where chapter 10, that very paragraph 1 we were reading, Jesus was transitioning from the holy to the most holy, the high priest on the Day of Atonement would wear a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. The reason being that if that high priest had any sin in his life and he fell and died, the people would hear the bell ring because he would fall. And so what they would do is they would always have a rope connected to him to pull him out because no one else could enter into the Holy of Holies. So what this is revealing is, in a sense, that we hear it, you could probably hear it in your or see it in your mind's eye, the idea that Jesus, as he's walking, you are seeing that bell and pomegranate, but it symbolizes in this case that we have a sinless Savior. So he is the one who's interceding for us. He's not like any high priest on earth. He is sinless, but the bell and the pomegranate represented that if that priest did fall, you would hear it. But it also represented the fact that the Day of Atonement had begun. That was the time when the priest wore it. That one day, he would wear the bell and the pomegranate. So hearing the sound of that would be a sign to the people that that day had begun.
Okay. So what I want to ask you, I understand the bell, but the pomegranate is like a ball, a hard ball that drops.
Right. So that's more like a fruit. That part, I will say, I have to study out a little more why they connected it, the bell and that. I know the bell is
right.
More so for hearing.
Yeah. Right.
But that I have to study out more.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I knew when the priests go in, I knew that part. But I always thought about that pomegranate with the bell, and I never understood. And so, listen, I want to ask you a question. So those little balls at the hem of the little fringe, and has the little pomegranate, sort of like a pomegranate little thing hanging from there. That all that represented something, I'm sure, because I read something about the pomegranate, but I just didn't know. If you can kind of give us a little bit of information on that pomegranate next time you're on, we appreciate it. But, you know, it just bring back, by us listening to this, as I always say, repetition deepens the oppression. And when we hear about Christ and his everything that happened at 31 AD and the sanctuary, that kind of like put us back in the frame of mind of remembering the sanctuary and what he was doing. So thank you for bringing that back to our memory. to help us go back on that. And so,
amen.
But we're going to say thank you, Pastor Akeem. Brothers and sisters, Pastor Akeem, bring us a message every Sunday. And we just want to thank him for what he's doing on this prayer line. He doesn't get paid anything. He doesn't ask us for anything. But by God's grace, you know, one day we need to pick up, give a little donation and give Pastor Akeem, because he's been doing this for almost 10 years and we have not given him a donation of nothing right now. So, but it would just be nice just to give him a little token of our love, just to say. And by God's grace, am I right, Pastor Akeem? He's supposed to come. He's one to come to Louisiana, the mission out, and we are getting it together. So we will be informing you what we're doing later, brother, Pastor Akeem. Yes. So,
okay.
Yes. So we want to thank you tonight for bringing in, bringing us the message, and may God bless. And it's always God blessing us with this message. So thank you once again, and thank you, brothers and sisters, and we surely appreciate you come to share your testimonies and listen on the prayer on Advent Light Ministry prayer line. So God bless you, and I will close out with a song, and God give you peace and rest for this night. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good night, brothers and sisters. You have a blessing. Peaceful night. Oh, wrong thing here. Excuse me, my computer is not want to get rid of this. There we go.